Stevie.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can hear. Can you hear me?
I can. Let me see. Now that we have this figured out, let me see this. So we know.
I feel like we need a tech guy on crew. Not even like a tech guy, just like somebody that will set this up.
I have a guy.
Yeah, we all have a guy. Where's the guy when we need the guy? That's the issue.
That is the issue. But I'm in my AirPods and everything's good.
I'm glad that our magic touch together could figure it out. But that's neither here nor there, buddy. So it's really good to talk to you, man. Joining me today, I guess, or I'm joining him in a way, Steven Alexi, one of my best buddies. We've been meaning to get together and we thought, what a great opportunity to get together for a chat, a conversation, record it, and just try to catch up to see what he's been up to. And, you know, it's been a crazy time for you, eh, bud?
Life's been crazy. Obviously, wrapped up ESE. We had some guys step up in a big way to take care of that and wrap that season up the right way, with Bam Bam being one of them. Shows up the last day for all the glory with the camera strapped to the hip.
Yeah, I mean, so you're mentioning you had to take a step back. I know it's been crazy. I'm happy for you. You and Brooks seem to be hanging in there all right. And I mean, you're smiling, doing the best you can, right? I was going on just in my normal scrolling or whatever, I came across one of your first paparazzi pictures. That was pretty interesting.
That is actually technically the first one. Living in a place like Orlando, it's surprising that it didn't happen sooner, but we literally left the house for 15 minutes and walked outside, and we didn't even walk a street over. It's not even a street over. We walked to a little park, walked to the end of the boardwalk, and came back and noticed the creepy white Honda Civic with fully tinted windows, and I said, that's not Bam Bam, but I shot him a wave, and had no idea that until the next day that it was somebody taking pictures. But they did wave back, so thank you.
Well, yeah, my mind can't even comprehend having to deal with something like that, Steve, to be honest with you. And, you know, all the thoughts and prayers and positive thinking that we've been doing for you up here in Michigan, just in our crew, and then in the ESC extended family, my man, is just the outpouring of support. I hope that both you and Brooke know that you're loved, you're cared for, and, you know, we miss you up here, quite frankly.
I miss you guys, too. It was a challenging summer from a lot of different aspects, and obviously that was one of them. We finally put together and constructed the dream team, and I wasn't able to spend as much time up there as I'd like to. But, you know, there's silver lining in everything, and guys that were new on scene and new to the situation stepped up and grabbed the bull by the horns and took on a lot of roles that they probably had no idea what they were doing to begin with. We had great feedback and a ton of support, you know, from the parents, the players, the staff. Everybody was very, very understanding. And I think that's what ESE is built on, is, you know, that family type atmosphere. And you know, when people go through things, everybody goes through it together. So I greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely, my man.
One of the topics I love to talk about is leadership, Mike. And, you know, I think it comes down to leadership, and a great leader can prepare everybody for a situation like that. So the fact that you said I was able to step away and I wasn't missed at all tells me that some way, shape, or form, it was
missed.
Good leadership.
I did not say you weren't missed, but that is true. I mean, you've built a foundation, one of which that you should be proud that even if you have to step away, the foundation can hold the weight of ESE and, quite frankly, all of summer hockey in Michigan. Some of the best hockey that I've gotten to watch. It's fun, it's engaging, and the new game style that you rolled out, it's phenomenal thinking.
Thank you. One of the things that I feel sets me apart is understanding it from a player perspective and always coming up with fun, creative concepts to make sure that guys are maximizing their time on the ice. So last year I had a little idea and we drummed it up and we utilized it during the playoffs for the Pro League. And it seemed to work very well. The championship game, it did exactly what we thought it would do, where one team was up 4-1 and they won the first game and the other team came back, won the second game and ended up winning the championship in OT. Last year's championship is when we first entered. It worked very, very well in last year's championship. I didn't even know that I was going to fully incorporate that until I was at the rink and, you know, 30 minutes before the game. And we had to do something that sets us apart. Ultimately, one thing I've noticed over the last 17 years is when a team gets down, you know, 3-4 goals, which can happen very, very quickly at the pro level, guys move the puck so well that, you know, what ends up happening is one team just stands around with the puck, passing it all over the place. And one team just stands around and, you know, doesn't even try to chase it. And guys were wasting a lot of time on the ice. So the new gameplay format, making everything a best of three, especially for goalies, it allows that reset. It keeps things a lot closer. keeps things a lot more competitive. And it works so well at the pro level this year that we incorporated it through all the levels with the younger kids. So very exciting. And now that people understand it, I think, you know, next year that's really going to take off and set us apart.
That's fantastic, Stephen. I mean, it's just good thinking. Congratulations to the winning teams. That was Skimmers and Hockey Haven Detailing, the Maroons, and Magtech. Sealed it out with our gold division, who of course was led by Nicholas Carollo in net, who played outstanding. The Maroons had a trio of guys out of Lake Orion that just seemed to really buy in to the program all summer. They went up to the tournament in Sault Ste. Marie as well. They brought that home, that championship. And then Skimmers was just absolutely loaded with talent, a complete wagon. I mean, you're talking guys from the best Division I programs in the nation, right?
Yeah, Michigan State was number one most of the year this year, and they had a large nucleus from the Michigan State Division I team and guys that were a part of the ESC program for a long time and unfortunately were stuck up in East Lansing in the summers. But with our West Side expansion over to Farmington, it was a little bit closer for them, so they were excited to get back into it. And they had a late addition with John Larkin a couple of days before the season started from Ohio State.
Mercyhurst, you know, now.
Mercyhurst now,
yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, Ohio Mercyhurst State Lakers. Previously. Mercyhurst now, I think he's transferring for his fifth year, I believe. Don't quote me on that. It was great to get some of those guys back in the fold and really looking forward to, we have some very exciting things for the pro division next year. So and now that we have a team, we can talk about some of these ideas, and we have 11 months to incorporate these and bring them into play, make people aware of what we have going on, which is always nice. And next year, we're going to be well ahead of it.
You've been here 18 years. You've got a team around ESC. You've got the Top 20 Challenge. You've had the Candy Cane Challenge, the Golden Gator. You had the For the Boys tournament in Nashville. These are all events that have been going forwards. And when you're around, it's just a different energy that's there.
Well, I appreciate that. And when I started this back in 2008, my goal was to build something where guys had a place to work in the summer. Guys could be a part of building something, not just participating in something, but building something. And I think this year, it sounds crazy, but this year at year 18, we've seen that come into play. And in guys who have been a part of our program for years now are now working and building. And I think it's so important too, because they understand what it's like being that younger kid participating in ESE. They were in their skates before. And for them to be able to give back, I think it gives them a totally different purpose and sense of hockey as well, which is really, really nice.
What's the mentorship aspect, right? They skated when they were younger, and they would look up to guys like you. They would see Dylan Larkin on the ice. They'd see Alex Brinkett on the ice. And now they're in the role where the younger athlete is looking to them for guidance and looking to them for energy on the bench, excitement around the program of having pro players, Division I, Division III, high-level guys all around to offer that mentorship.
Doing this for 18 years, there's guys that I want to put in front of the younger kids, and there's guys that I probably don't want to put in front of the younger guys, unless it's to use as an example. So, and not in the good way. The guys who we're helping with the younger groups this year are guys that are there for a reason, and guys that show leadership qualities and show hard work and determination and, you know, guys that have had their success at multiple different levels. It doesn't have to be at the NHL level to be a great leader and a great mentor.
And if there's one thing we can take away, it's that leaders come from anywhere.
And that's a Ted Lasso quote by Mike Bam Bam.
Bam Bam quote, Ted Lasso. I mean, yeah, but I appreciate that, my man. It's true. And
I couldn't agree
more. The biggest decision for people that want to be in those roles is simply believing that's what you want and showing that through your actions, not just your words, even when it doesn't seem to be progressing on your timeline or progressing easily. The fact of the matter is that a lot of the time you just have to stick with it, whatever it is, whether it's podcasting, whether it's ice hockey, whether it's life, you just have to stick with it long enough because people start to fall away. If you want it bad enough, no matter what it is, attack it. And that's being a leader to me.
No doubt. And I think there's a couple pieces to the leadership. I think one of the biggest things is, you know, it's easy to speak on leadership and preach the right things, but it's another to do the right things, right? And there's a lot of people that speak it, but don't live it. And the guys that we put in place live it. I mean, they, you know, you can see on or off the ice, their dedication, their work ethic is, you know, is something to look up to. When you talk about the leadership side of things, it's a learning process that never stops, right? And, you know, you never have it all figured out. And I believe each individual is different and needs something different. So there's a different approach to each individual and each kid.
Absolutely, my man. So ESEHockey.com, when do we start taking registrations is the word I'm looking for. Not just for next summer, but I know, you know, there's the top 20 coming up. And then we've talked about the ESEAA Prospect Challenge. I don't know if now would be the right time to announce that.
We can announce that. We're going to be doing a lot more in the AA space. We're going to be doing a lot more in the high school space, understanding the back end of it and how confusing some of the registration process can be in us operating on multiple platforms. We're looking to simplify that, and we're looking to kind of streamline some of our processes. And we'll probably take about a month to do that with everything going on in my personal life. It'll probably be about a month, but we're looking to tweak that, make it easier for people hopping on there through the registration. I know payment's a bit of an issue with the current platform once you log on and you pay your deposit or even just register if you click pay offline. You can't just go back in there and pay your remainder, which, you know, ultimately becomes very confusing. There's a lot of medical questions and things like that. We're going to trim the fat onto that, make it a lot easier. Top 20 challenge, a number of teams have reached out. We're going to start promoting that. That's at Troy end of January, which is a great tournament. Very excited for that. It's always nice to see a lot of familiar faces. We have some new teams that are on board, a lot of Canadian teams this year, which is really nice. We appreciate them giving us an opportunity because as a Canadian team traveling to the U.S., you only get a certain number of tournaments in the U.S. that you can travel across the border. They have to apply and get credentials and stuff like that as well. So we're really excited to host those teams. A couple teams have really stepped up their game. They've changed some rules in Canada now too. Previously, you had to keep everybody from within a region. Well, they've opened that up in Hockey Canada now. So we have a couple teams that have stacked up their squad pretty good.
Last year, 18U, North Star Christian, Teens, Little Caesars. Hopefully they're all going to be back. Defend their championship belts, I'd add.
The original championship belt, where it all started.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Check the mileage.
Shout out Trophy Smack, a good buddy of mine. Owns Trophy Smack, was actually on Shark Tank as well when they were on there. I love what they do. Obviously, knowing the people behind it, they're awesome. So to me, it's not just a belt. It's something that represents, you know, the people behind the scenes as well. So it's always special when we give those away.
Absolutely. And that's where my men's league team gets our championship rings. Back-to-back champions, HNA Detroit. Hopefully, we're going to go back-to-back-to-back. I think we got the squad to do it this year. If you want to come up and sub, I'll check with the guys and then you come out for a little eval skate. I'll see if you can hang.
The way you've been working out in the gym, it would not surprise me one bit if they retired your TDL jersey up in St. Clair Shores Civic Arena.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And keeping in that same vein, getting away from ESCs and how I'm a back-to-back champion, today is a very special day in hockey history as well. The Red Wings just announced that Sergei Fedorov is going to have his jersey retired in a game against the Carolina Hurricanes.
I think if you're going to retire Sergei Fedorov, you need to retire the Russian Five as one.
And that's a great idea.
That would be
that's
my take on
idea.
It. I say you retire the Russian Five as one for everything that they did for hockey in the city of Detroit. The culture that listen, I'm an ideas guy, Mike. I'm an ideas guy. But I think there was just so much. Yeah, there was just so much more to it than just Sergei Fedorov. You know, that whole time it was all five of them as a unit. And obviously the success came with all of those guys together. And then Absolutely. Obviously the tragedy as well. And I think that would be a very, very classy move by the Detroit Red Wings to retire everybody that was a part of the Russian Five together.
That's a phenomenal idea because all I could muster up was no, it shouldn't happen. To offer a solution rather than just what my hot take was, and I think it was a well-substantiated, well-researched opinion, is that in order to get your jersey retired, I believe that it supersedes even the Hockey Hall of Fame, okay? The Hockey Hall of Fame, that's your stats. I get it. That's if you're in, you've got great stats.
If anybody wants to research a guy I played with by the name of Joel Ward, absolutely made his living
100%.
In the playoffs. Scoring big goals and, you know. Obviously was a great player during the season, but always stepped up in those moments. And you see it with, you know, guys like Williams and you know, guys like that, that take Mr. on Game a whole Seven. Different Mr. Game 7, a whole different persona in playoffs. You know, people say it, but it's true. That's when it really matters. It's like when you see a guy who's the best practice player day in and day out, but it doesn't translate to a game. And you see guys absolutely light up regular season and then they disappear in playoffs, right? So I would love to know the criteria in the ranking system for a jersey retirement.
They want to sell tickets and capitalize on the nostalgia that people our age feel towards the 97 through 2008 Red Wings, right?
I can't tell you a lot about Sergei Fedorov. He played when I was younger watching it, but...
Young? I mean, that was our time, buddy.
Definitely doesn't move the needle after retirement or after leaving Detroit.
Yeah, you were a Forsberg guy anyway. Let's not forget that.
I was. That is correct. But let's not forget that he played for a number of different organizations. And you know, you're selling tickets. What better way to sell tickets than have those guys involved in your alumni association and stuff like that and honor those guys that are around it a lot more, right? And can have those interactions with the fans. And great. To me, it's always been more than just hockey. So when you're simply basing that decision on, you know, a handful of years where they played for the organization, not even their entire career, to me, it gets a little bit tricky as far as why him and not some other guys.
Yeah, no, I listen.
Why not retire Mike as a Red Wing, one of the greatest U.S. born players there was.
Mikey Madonna. Well, he played for the Wings, what, 2 years, one under Babcock, one game short of 1,500. Do you ever hear that story? Well-known story.
I've heard it.
That, yeah, and I'm sure you've heard it more.
And off the record, people wonder why I didn't sign in Toronto and I signed in Anaheim. Well, that guy was the coach in Toronto.
Yeah, I think he still would have loved you. Hard not to, buddy. Yeah.
I wasn't willing to take the chance. Well, the guy in Anaheim didn't like me, so maybe I should have taken the chance.
Maybe you should have taken it. Hey, that's all right. I think 14-year pro career worked out just fine for you. I really love the idea of doing the retirement for all of the Russian Five. Sergei Fedorov, you look back, sure, 97, 98, amazing playoff runs for this guy. Look at the stats. He's less than a point per game per player throughout his entire career, which, I mean, that's still very good. Don't get me wrong, but I think you need to be that generational talent. I would, listen, hot take over here is that I'm getting rid of just about everybody except for Gordie Howe and Steve Yzerman up there, okay? And if the Red Wings ever were to fire Steve Yzerman, I will turn in my Red Wings fandom card for life that day. Mark it down, because if they get rid of him, that is his team. And I spend hours, Steve, hours at work arguing this point with absolute knuckleheads. Shout out TDL Hockey, all the boys saying, you're in the chat, you can read it yourself. But man, I'm a loyalty overall guy. And it irks me. And I'm sure whatever, let bygones be bygones, water under the bridge. Not me. I hold a grudge, buddy. So... Fedorov, like great that. Player, Hall of Fame, number retired. I'll pass, but I know that it's not about me because I'm a team guy. It's not necessarily about what I think, despite me most likely being correct.
Yeah, the babies are crying, so we might have to.
Stephen Alexi, 2016 Stanley Cup champion, father to Oliver, Andrew, and Molly Jean, husband to Brooke. We love you, buddy. I'll talk
You're
to you.
You're awesome.
You are.
Thank you.
Later.